Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
My name is Mabel. I'm very excited to be able to read to you from James 3. So this is going to be James 3 from 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. Y'all doing okay this morning? Good, good, good. Well, I'm happy to see y'all on a, what is this, a three-day week, four-day week, five-day week? Five-day week. You know, is this one of those real holidays where it's like President's Day? No, we still got to work. So I'm super excited to have you this morning. My name is Pastor Charlie, and what's going on? Good to see you. My name is Pastor Charlie, and I'm not the lead pastor here at Gallery. Surprise, surprise. My name is Charlie, and if you have any complaints about anything I say, just wait another 5 weeks when the pastor comes back, and then it'll be all good, okay? But honestly, it's been an honor to serve for Pastor Ellis. So Pastor Ellis and his wife Ginger are the lead pastors here, and they've been serving and leading Gallery Church for a long time. And they're soldiers in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Nobody caught that one. So they need a little bit of a break. And I've been tasked with the opportunity to serve them as they get some rest and some time to chill. So Ellis, if you're watching, turn it off right now. So word on the street is he's been peeking in and he's supposed to be chilling. So like, yo, you need to fall back, sir, and just go on and turn it off. As well, we've been having such a great time, but I do want to shout out Lana because yesterday was her birthday. So super shout out to the leadership that's been here holding it down, POP for life, taking care of us, you know, so taking care of us, leading us, making sure that we're all good. So this has been an incredible season. And what I've had the opportunity to do, if you're a guest, is walk us through the book of James. And in James, it's been interesting because the Spirit has been moving in Gallery Church. There's a unique spirit of community and camaraderie and love and just family that you kind of experience as you kind of move in and through the Gallery kind of church. And it's been good for our family to kind of be a part of and experience. And so what I've just had the chance to do with the book of James is kind of come in, do a little bit of coaching and encouragement to fire you guys up. Hopefully Pastor Ellis comes back more tan and excited, right? And like full of vision and energy for the future and where God is taking you all. But then while he's away, we're getting geared up. And so the goal is that to take our words, we don't want to just be smart, brilliant, knowledgeable believers in Jesus, but we want to be believers in Jesus whose lives actually support the claims that we make. And that's what James is all about. I'm not interested and you telling me some good information. I need to see, does your life match up with what it is that you say? So that's why we've entitled this series, Word and Deed. So we've been going through these different phases and issues that James has brought up. This week, he brings up another very interesting point that we all need help with. And that is wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. We all need wisdom. Right now, I think in the last 2 years, the amount of information that was created in the world is 90% more than what was created in all of the years prior to that. So in the last 2 years, we've created so much information, videos, podcasts, audio, visual, graphic. We've just got information being produced at mass. But somewhere along the line, we're struggling because y'all remember that song from the 90s? Things that make you go, hmm? I think that was CNC Music Factory. Some of y'all might have to look that up. But it just seems like we lack a lot of common sense nowadays. Everywhere you go, you watch the news, you're on social media, you're just like, yo, that was just the dumbest thing ever. You're watching politics, you're watching your favorite influencer, and you're just, I listen to podcasts, and I'm just like, well, how? Please, can we just limit the amount of microphones that are being given out and sold? Amazon, just stop. We don't need any more relational podcasts. We don't need any more kind of like videos, YouTubers. I'm happy you can get paid to create, but just stop spreading stupidity. Can we do that? And it feels like, man, is there just a lack of common sense? And there isn't a lack of common sense. There's not a lack of brilliance. There's not a lack of just good information, but there is a lack of wisdom. Where do I apply? How do I apply the truth of what God says to this situation? And everybody in here needs wisdom. You need wisdom to manage your finances, raise your children, deal with conflict, deal with difficult people and situations. No matter where you are, what phase of life you're in, we all need wisdom, and we could use a little bit more wisdom than the amount we have right now. And the question is, how do I grow in wisdom, especially with things being so complicated? That's what's so unique about this age. It's not that there's just a lot going on. It just seems like it's so much more confusing. Pick a diet. If we were to pick a diet in here right now, there'd probably be civil war in this building. We have to burn the whole thing down. Because which one is the best one? Is it keto? Is it carnivore? Is it vegan? Is it vegetarian? Is it pescatarian? I don't know. I'm pescatarian, but I eat chicken and a steak if I feel like it. And some people, like, we would ride or die about the one. And we've all got studies and stats to back up why that's the best one. Only eat potatoes. Okay, I think you'll lose a couple pounds just only eating potatoes. Is that the best? Yes. Because you say it is or because it's true? I don't know. Things are so complicated. And when you're facing a lot of difficult situations and decisions, many of us start to treat God like he's a magic eight ball. Y'all remember those magic eight balls? I never bought one. You just at Kmart back in the day, you just go to the toy aisle and then you just shake it, ask your question while you were there, but you never actually bought it. Okay? Does she like me? I don't know. Ask again. Dang it. And so here we are, we treat God like that. Do I make this decision or that decision? Do I go there or there? What is the will of God for my life? Should I marry this person or avoid them? I don't know. They look very good. We seem to be compatible, but I'm not sure. There might be someone better out there. Here's a newsflash. There is someone better out there. But this person might be the better option. But how do you know if you don't have wisdom and you don't have a rubric or an understanding of what wisdom looks like? So that's what James is going to help us with today. Watch this. Wisdom is so important in the scriptures. Proverbs 4:7 says, above all and before all, do this, get wisdom. Proverbs 4:5 says, sell everything and buy wisdom. Forage for understanding. Don't forget one word. Don't deviate an inch. Proverbs 16:16. Get wisdom. It's worth more than money. Choose insight over income every time. Just to be clear, just in case y'all, you know, you missed it, and maybe the Hebrew's a little bit different, you know, it's better to be wise than strong. Intelligence outranks muscle any day. So the Bible is clear, we need wisdom. And I think we desperately need wisdom. What is it? Wisdom is the ability to perceive the true nature of a situation and implement the will of God in that situation. Okay? So wisdom is the ability to perceive the true nature of a situation and to implement the will of God in that situation. Wisdom is the practical application of God's truth to a specific situation. Now, many of us get confused because we go, well, it doesn't speak about this particular situation in the Bible. Pastor Charlie, can you help me figure out this thing in my life? And it's got this component, this component, this component, this component. I don't know where in the Bible. Can you give me a chapter and verse to help me decide what to do in my particular situation? Well, the Bible don't work like that, first off. Thank goodness, because we all have unique lives. But it gives us principles to help us to navigate our complicated lives. Okay? So that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is going, okay, I have the principle of God spoken to me by the Holy Spirit as I'm following, as I'm walking through my life and my circumstances. Wisdom is the combination of knowledge, understanding, and righteousness. Because many of us are smart, many of us are brilliant, many of us have the right information, but it is not applied rightly. And that's where righteousness comes in. So James speaks today in our passage about the evidence of someone having true wisdom. And he gives us two sides of this coin. And so I want to help us today. What is it? What is it that you're looking for in your own life as you assess, as you look around to your peers, your neighbors? Maybe you're interested in somebody. Maybe you're interested in a career. Whatever it is, and you're trying to figure out, what do I do? Like, is this the right situation or not? I don't know, but there is fruit. There are signals. There are signs that tell us this is more wise than the other side. So let's learn what true wisdom is. The first characteristic of true wisdom is this: your life speaks for you. Your life is going to tell me everything I need to know. Now, in church, we tend to do this. Now, mind you, the reason I say in church or I say to people of faith is because James is speaking to Christians. He's not talking to the general public. So he's saying you as a believer in Jesus need to be paying attention to your life, because your life is actually what's going to tell me if you've got wisdom or not. That's funny, because in church we can act a certain way. But when I deal with you on a weekly, daily, monthly, yearly basis, now I'm starting to discern if there's true wisdom here or not. So I don't care how you show up on Sunday morning. Smile, be very pleasant and nice, but your life speaks for you. True wisdom from above, God from above, leads to a good conduct or a good way of life. Look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. That's what the NIV says. Show it by their good life. But he means by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So he's given us an opportunity to see what is the genuineness of their wisdom. Because, man, they sound really brilliant. They speak really well. Man, they dress really well. They've got all the marks of someone who would have wisdom, but their life doesn't say the same thing. James has in mind what we had at the beginning of James chapter 3. Not many of us should become teachers, right? He said that last week, but he's still going. He's still thinking, because this is an if-then statement. If you have real wisdom and understanding, then you will show it in your way of life. He's challenging us to really demonstrate what it is that you claim that you have. You claim to be filled with the Spirit. You claim to be walking with Jesus. You claim to be a believer in Christ. Therefore, if I look at your life, if I were to double click on your life, spend a week, a month with you, will I see the fruit of that wisdom? So wisdom is not merely intellectual knowledge. It also involves accompanying behavior. The wisdom that comes from God must be seen in your behavior. That's why the world gets upset with us. That's why they don't trust us when we say the things we say about Jesus. Why? Because obviously, if it's really true, why doesn't your life line up with what it is that you say? Your relationships, your finances, your way of being is just as bad as mine. So not circumstantially, just the quality of your life. You're just as anxious, you're just as overwhelmed, you're just as prideful, you're just as angry. So what's the difference in what you got and what I got? That's where the rubber meets the road. So in other words, your life is what speaks for you. So what is the outcome? What are we driving towards, all right? Part of that conduct that he wants to specifically point out is humility. Humility describes a condition of mind and heart. It's like it's trying to be, we are gentle in the world. It's got to be in how we engage with others, but also how we engage with God. The promise that was given to us in James chapter 1 was, listen, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And don't doubt, because he gives generously. But some of you are acting as if God is withholding. That's not a humble spirit towards God. You're still self-protecting. And so he goes, no, humility in heart and mind is one that, man, God, I trust you. I lean on you. I don't trust in my own understanding, my own instincts, but I'm knowing that you will give me what I need for this situation. So he's saying, not only do we act like that before God, but we act like that within the world. Many of us want to prove that we are tough and that we can handle any situation. Many of us are self-reliant. We've grown up in a culture that says, no, you have to be self-reliant. You have to deal with things on your own. Do not cry. Do not be weak. Do not buckle under pressure. Nobody is coming to save you. Nobody is going to help you. Is there truth to that? Yes, there is some truth to that. But that is why we've called out to a what? A Savior who gives us what I need. Do I deserve the grace that he's given? Absolutely not. That's why I call on him. So when you hear someone like Lana say, hey, do not go through things alone, it forces us to go against what comes natural to us. Man, I'm weak, I'm vulnerable, I'm going through this very hard situation. And the storyline we start to say is nobody cares. Nobody's going to help. Nobody's interested. I've got to deal with this on my own. And that's where wisdom goes, whoa, stop. They've offered to help you. Now, will you lean into it rather than trusting yourself? So that's humility. You can be a mover and a shaker while also not running over people. You can be ambitious. We're going to talk about ambition in a moment, but you can have a holy ambition that my desires, my dreams, my vision for my life or the decisions I'm making, hopefully they have a kingdom impact. They impact other people. They're beneficial beyond just my personal benefit. So the question is, do you think you're wise? Do you think you have understanding? And if so, we need to be able to see it in your way of life. Do you have a good way of life, which is led and marked by humility? Humility looks like we put others first. Humility means that we are patient with others. Humility means that we go out of our way not to cause harm. Humility means that we practice self-control. Humility ultimately means this, that we are confident in the strength that God has given, and we don't need to push people around to get what we need. Why? Because I have a God that goes before me. He protects me. He calls me his son or his daughter. So I don't have to fight, bite, claw, scratch to get what I need. He's already promised to take care of me. So your good conduct and humility are signs of true wisdom. It's somebody who's actually been transformed by the gospel. So the challenge is to you, some of you, you need to wrestle with that. Okay, am I relying on myself and my instincts and what I was taught, how I was raised? Or am I leaning into the truth and wisdom that comes from God? Don't run from it, embrace it, and you're being transformed. But what's the second characteristic that James tells us to watch out for? Because that's the positive side. This is the aim. That's what you should be looking at, right? The second is the me trap. The me trap. Earthly wisdom is selfish and envious. Verse 14 to 16 says it plain. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. As we used to say back in the day, tell the truth and shame the devil. Be honest. What's really going on in your heart? What's really happening? Nah, Pastor, man, I'm good. Praise God. You know, it's going to be okay. I'm not even worried about it. Knowing full well you get behind closed doors and you're just like, if I get a chance, I'm taking everything that's mine. Knowing in your heart full well, you're jealous and envious. Just every time you see that person, your eyes cut to the side. Many of us have this selfish ambition and bitter envy in our heart. And he goes on to say, verse 15, such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, doggone, it's demonic. It's anti-Christ. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every evil practice. So you're stuck in the me trap. What's best for me? I got to look out for me. Got to look out for number one. I can't be worried about y'all. I got to take care of me. And you get wound up in this thing. And James, first thing he says is be honest. Do not boast or brag about having selfish ambition and bitter envy. Okay, that means that you're envious, you're contentious, you always got these rivalries, jealousy, you're holding grudges, all that kind of stuff. Is that in there? Man, that's just the way I am. I mean, you cross me, that's just how it is. Okay, you're telling me something, and you're proud of the fact that that's what's going on. James is like, be careful with that. We shouldn't take joy or place value in the fact that we have traits that are opposite that of true godliness. So be honest in the fact that, okay, yes, I'm dealing with this, but I don't want to stay like this. This is how I feel. This is what I'm thinking. This is how I'm processing it. But could you help me just to move from that place to a place of humility? Right? So that is what, because that's what's so dangerous about having bitter envy and selfish ambition. It means that we really want something that somebody else has. We desire it to the point that we are bitter that we don't have it. You're not bitter with the person. You're bitter with the God that you feel like is withholding it from you. So it's not that you expect them to give it to you. You're just saying under your breath, it's not fair that they have it and I don't. Selfish ambition means that we're motivated to do something that serves only us in our own interests. And we need to protect ourselves. We need to be wise in the world, discerning. You need to care. You need to work. You need to provide for yourself. So Jesus is not going around telling everybody, no, just give up everything. Just give everything to everybody else. Don't be wise. Don't be smart. Don't be discerning. Don't manage your money. No, he's not saying that at all. But selfish ambition moves through the world like a shark. I'm only after what I'm after. And I don't care what anybody else has going on. So let me give you some examples. to make it real for us, all right? A husband secretly resents his wife's promotion, feeling overshadowed and questioning his own masculinity. A father envies his friend's carefree lifestyle, feeling trapped by his family obligations and financial burdens. Always looking, comparing and looking. Go, man, a woman feels bitter towards a younger colleague who receives more compliments on her appearance and then begins engaging in subtle, passive-aggressive behavior. A single woman feels envious of married friends, questioning her own choices and feeling isolated. I can't spend time with them. They don't know my situation. No, look what they have, what I don't have. There's that comparison again. A student becomes bitter towards a classmate who excels, resorting to name-calling and belittling their achievements. A teenager becomes envious of a friend's popular status on social media, begins to feel inadequate, and starts to have self-doubt. All of these are these comparison games that we play, right? A co-founder resents the partner's increased responsibility and authority and starts to undermine them by their behavior. A company feels bitter towards a competitor who receives funding for a similar project, resorting in discrediting tactics. Daggone, we're about to enter a political season. You think we're going to see any of this going on? Resorting to discrediting tactics because of what that other person may or may not have? James says, if you have these things, you should not boast about it. For if you do, you're denying the truth. Because it's the very denial of life that Jesus came to bring us. I came that you might have life and life to the full. But you feel more comfortable with the enemy who came to steal, kill, and destroy. If I can't have it, they shouldn't have it. If I can't enjoy something like that, I don't even want to see it. Wow. That's the opposite of what Jesus came to do for us. So we should stop pretending that we have wisdom if that's what we have. It's not the real thing, okay? But we go back, and you got to remember, because it can feel overwhelming at times when you're dealing with real life. When it's a Tuesday, it's a Wednesday, it's a Thursday, you get the email, you see the social media post, you're going through life, you're having a conversation with a family member, and you start to feel these emotions of bitterness, anger, frustration, resentment. Start to feel this. You got to remember. Now, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. Don't resent the person. Ask God for wisdom. God, okay, Lord, I don't know. Am I making some decision somewhere that is just not adding up? Or are you trying to teach me something? Are you trying to reveal something to me? What else do we need to remember that James has told us? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So don't begin to get resentful and envious and treating God as if he's withholding from you. The me trap wraps you in a web that is all self-absorbed, and you cannot do it for yourself. You need the outside help that comes from humbly going before God and asking him for the wisdom that you need. So, we don't want that. We want to give up that. If we have that, we need to admit that. So, man, maybe today, maybe this week, assess your week, those feelings, those moments. Are you avoiding certain people because you know they're going to bring this thing up? Watch that. Be mindful. And then, rather than just walking away, doggone it. See, that's why I don't like talk. Talk to the Lord. Say, Father, okay, what's going on here? Help me to see what's going on in here. Is it that I want what they have and don't have it? Or am I making decisions that, man, maybe aren't aligned with wisdom that could move me in a different direction? But we don't want envy. We don't want selfish ambition because it leads to disorder in every evil practice. That's the opposite of what we want. But what is it that we're aiming for? Here's what we learn. Here's the last point. is this. True wisdom leads to harvesting harmony. True wisdom leads to harvesting harmony. Now, does that mean that everything's just going to be easy breezy, lemon squeezy? Man, I wish. But in the long run, what is it that you are sowing seeds of? And that's what you'll reap. Wisdom from above produces godly fruit. What does it look like? What does it look like? Well, let's look at verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. James reminds us that this is what wisdom from above looks like when it's come to fruition. That's what true wisdom from God produces. Then he gives us the characteristics. Man, I love it because how many of us have spent a lot of money on books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, YouTube videos, trying to get the secret sauce? Can you tell me what it is I should be looking for right now? And we spend a lot of money to go to a conference, listen to a speaker, listen to a podcast to get the inside information. And James goes, before you go looking too far at what you think wisdom should look like, this is exactly what it should look like. This is exactly what it should produce. And he gives us the secret sauce of true wisdom. Can you imagine having the Colonel Sanders secret recipe? You know what I'm saying? You're just like, I got the secret recipe. This is it. Now I can make my own fried chicken. This is great. So what are the marks? The marks of true wisdom are this. First is pure. True wisdom isn't tainted by evil. It's not tainted by maliciousness. It's not tainted by envy, all that stuff. It's pure. So it helps us to kind of get past some of that stuff. If there's any of that kind of manipulation going on, if there's any kind of tactics that we're using to get over or get under or step aside, no, that's not true wisdom from God because it's pure. True wisdom from God looks like peace-loving. 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 It loves peace. I love that. Because I know we have to be peacemakers. But are we peace-loving? Many of us are so traumatized. We're so anxious. We're so overwhelmed. We don't know how to enjoy peace. And James is going, no, listen, true wisdom loves peace and doesn't run from it. How many of you have ever tried practicing solitude and silence? All right, very few of us. Why? Why is it? Why is it that so few of us do it? It's very hard. It's very hard to sit in a room by yourself for 5 minutes without something else feeding into you. That's how you know. So how? Now, if you want to become peace loving, start to lean into the silence. Go, okay. And get comfortable with it. Peace loving. True wisdom does not look for trouble, but looks for peace. Gentle, again, is gentle. It looks to be helpful to others, not harmful. It's compliant. True wisdom does not try to start arguments, but tries to be reasonable and compliant. We navigate conflict, but we don't cause conflict, right? It's full of mercy. True wisdom leads us to be people of mercy, quick to forgive, quick to overcome an offense. We deal with it justly, but we're not trying to hang around and just heap more shame and guilt and condemnation on people. We're full of mercy, full of good fruits. True wisdom produces godliness in us. So that's where it gets a little bit tricky because we're wanting fruit from one quick decision. Okay, I'm gonna stop doing that. And you go, okay, that should resolve all my issues. No, that's only one step in the journey. Now you have to pursue a new way of life. So I'll give you an example. Me and my wife, when we got married early on, we were young, very young, and we charged everything to credit cards. And then we went through a season of crisis. A parent died. Aaron got sick, lost the job, car broke down. You know, there's just these wild seasons where all this stuff happens at one time. Everything kind of combines. And doggone it, now we're so deep underwater. I mean, we're drowning. So I think we had gotten down to like 40 grand in debt. And we had bought a house that we couldn't afford, and the adjustable rate just went through the roof. What do you do? What do you do at that moment? 23, 24, 25 years old? You don't know what you're doing. I don't know. I've never had financial management, financial planning. I don't know what to do. And we had to make some very, very difficult decisions. You know what they were? Go out and get another credit line, flip this, do that, and then run this play, and then do this and do that. No. That'll probably be the quick way out. Nah, you're going to have to save $1,000. You're going to have to sell some stuff. You can't go on vacation for a season. You're going to have to cut the little cable. You're probably going to have to cut the internet too. And we went through a season of just hard sacrifice. Why? So that we could regain peace in our household. Was it quick? No. Was it a long 18 months getting ourselves out of debt? Yes. Did it produce fruit for years? Absolutely. So although that was a 20-year-old decision, it has still paid dividends in our life. So what is it? It's full of good fruits. It's unwavering. It's without pretense, right? So that's what we're looking for. So you're not going to get the specific for your decision, right? You're not going to get the specific. I don't know if you should marry that spouse. I don't know if you should move to that town. I don't know. Could go one way or another way. Should I have moved to Baltimore? Yes or no, to plant a church? Yes or no, I don't know. You know what Jesus told me when I asked him that? Should I move to Baltimore to plant a church? You know what I got? That sound right there. You hear that? Nothing. And I'm like, Jesus, work with your boy. I need a sign. Symbol. I don't care. It could be a bird dies right now. Like, I don't care. Give me something. Some kind of confirmation that you're with me. You know what the Lord said to me? I'll go with you wherever you go. I'll go with you wherever you go. And I was disappointed. I'm not interested in you going with me wherever I go. Is this going to work or not? Why? Because I'm trying to avoid the pain that comes with walking in faith, walking in the unknown. I need a sure thing. Is it a sure thing? Never. So, should you take the job? Sure. Should you take the job? No. Is there going to be pain involved? Yes. Should you marry the person? Yes. Do they have wisdom? Do they have a life of wisdom? I don't know. Oh, then slow down. You see, we have principles that we use to help us to navigate in these situations. So that's the call for us. That's the challenge. James is wanting us to see this. I want you to walk it, don't talk it. All of us can talk a good game when we're together. But does our life show fruit of wisdom? And if it doesn't, that's fine, because God graciously gives us the wisdom we need. Okay? So I want to invite the band back up. I want to invite the band back up, and we're going to close out real quick. Are you seeking wisdom, or are you just taking in whatever comes across your path? Be careful with that. You're going to get a lot of good information. We're in the over-information age. You don't necessarily need more information. You do need more wisdom. So a prayer that you can pray is this: Lord, make me more wise. Okay? Make me more discerning. in discerning to a point where I am developing godly character. Don't settle for just good information. 3 steps, 5 steps, 7 tactics, run this play, just do this, all that. That sounds good, and it might work for some people, but that might not lead to true and genuine wisdom. Live and aspire to be one who is truly wise. So I'll challenge you with a couple of things. First of all, reject the fruit of worldly wisdom. When you start to see bitter envy, when you start to feel that jealousy, that resentment, acknowledge it, and then move away from it. So some of you, as we enter into a time of communion in a moment, you're invited to bring that to the cross. Bring that to the cross and go, Lord, I don't want to feel this stuff. I feel heavy when I feel it. And I've used it as fire and fuel in the past to push me forward. I don't want that to be the fuel. So confess that before the Lord. If you're seeing fruit of ungodly wisdom, reject that worldly wisdom. But then the second thing you do is seek the real thing. Don't settle for no mediocre fake wisdom. Man, let's be people that seek God's word and seek his wisdom. Man, Gallery Church needs more wisdom. We need more peace. We need more vitality that comes from being people that dwell together in peace. So watch this. Let's seek it together through humility. And we do that by just saying, hey, I don't know, but let's go to God in prayer together. Hey, I don't know, but let's read the word together. So when you go to communion in a moment, that's what I invite you into. And the last thing I'll say as we close is this. There's a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it is the way to death. Some of you are still, you have not trusted Christ, and it feels right. But Jesus says, yo, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me, man, come to me. So if you're not walking with Jesus, he's not just a philosopher. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a savior. He also gives us wisdom to navigate complex lives. So if you're tired of carrying that on your own, and you're tired of always ending in the cul-de-sac of doggone it again, come to Jesus. Trust in him. He was died so that he had a relationship with you. So that's my prayer for many of you. Let me pray this in prayer. Jesus, I am so grateful and honored that you don't leave us to our own devices, but you give us the insights that we need. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, that you promised that even when we wouldn't know what to say, it would bring back to our memory what it is to say. And many of us have experienced moments in our lives where we just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. We didn't know what the heck we were doing, how we ended up here, but somehow you made a way for us. And that was that moment the Holy Spirit showed up. So Lord, I pray that you make us people of wisdom, true and godly wisdom, not just great information, not just knowledgeable, not just understanding, but people that are wise and discerning with godly character. May our lives speak about the wisdom that we have, not just our words. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.